You know, now we have these retreats and we have these kind of meetings, you know, every month, and very quickly it is already becoming a kind of old routine. This is the working saints routine, and then you just come and listen to a message, and I say something, and like that. I don't want that to happen. So I like to keep it informal. I like to keep it quite a talk that I always have rather than a message. The important thing is not I'm here, give a message to the working saints. No, the important thing is I tell you what, I want action. I want action. I don't want just to talk. And we have been meeting like this for 2+ years from the first time I went to Angels Camp. I think I went there 2 times at least. And then this recent time down in Santa Cruz. And then in between last year, starting in the spring or so, we started these once a month kind of time. And so it's been a while, you know, it's not recent. And I'll tell you what is on my heart. My heart is this. I'll put in very, very direct, very, very overt terms, all right? The Lord is doing something very, very evidently here in Northern California, in the Bay Area, so to speak. And it's real. And it is for that reason that I'm coming up here frequently for this and that event, and got myself involved in the things. And for the same reason why some of the co-workers and leading brothers are coming together frequently, more and more often, with a real burden to cooperate with the Spirit, what the Spirit is doing here in Northern California. Now, you are not a party to that fellowship, so you would not, I don't blame you for not catching or feeling this burden to the same degree. And I don't expect you. But a lot of my fellowship here with you, this group, is a bit of a spillover. You know what I mean? It's an overflow of that burden. And this last time in Santa Cruz especially, I felt, I opened my heart. You remember we were in Numbers, am I right? The book of Numbers, about the formation of the army, about the working saints' role in this move of the Lord, so on and so forth. So to some degree, you should have caught that burden. But I also said that on actually all the brothers feel that this piece of the puzzle called the working saints is a critical piece, is a central piece, I would even say, in this new move of the Lord to advance his recovery in this region, to grow, to spread, to have a new beginning, a renewal, and even perhaps even a revival. And so for that reason, we have these more meetings with this age group than any other groups of saints. That's the precise reason. And if you have been here in the last year in these fellowship, I think you caught a lot of this kind of a speaking and burden. But as yet, I just feel that it seems we have not gain adequate traction in this move among the among you, the working saints. I'm not putting the blame on you. I probably should put more blame on myself in not leading in an adequate way, and because also you all scatter in different churches, you're not in the same one church, you may be also at a loss. How do you carry these things out in your locality, and so on and so forth. So and there are definitely environmental reasons and challenges for us to make this thing, this wheel turn, this working saints wheel turn. But I want to let you know again today that this is the underlying burden. And we identified this over 2 years ago when I first came up here. I am concerned that after a while, if there's no action, there's no traction or results, even some of you will slowly drift away. Like, well, so what? You know, young working saints, and we get some attention, we get some special speaking, it's, you know, even you start to lose interest in these meetings, or that would be sad. So there are on paper up to 1,000 of you, not young working saints. I threw out that word young. I just call working saints, meaning roughly from age 25 to age, you know, actually even 50. People still work, you know, in age 50. But let's use 50 as a cutoff point. That age group from 25 to 50 on paper is up to 1,000 saints in this region of all languages, of all kinds. 1,900 or 1,000, that's not a small number, okay? That's not a small number. And on the last time in the retreat, we have the largest number, and not everyone came, right? We have 450 all told, right? And so many children, whatever. And in other words, at one point in time, half of this number will show up at a retreat. Am I right? I think next time, if we have better planning and announcement and so on, we could have 500 coming to a retreat like that. And that's half, and that's very, very encouraging, that half of all the working saints would show up to a weekend like this. If truly of the 1,000 working saints, brothers and sisters in this area, in the churches, truly half of them, just half, okay, and I would even discount that by another half, meaning 25%. That means 250, not even 500. 250 of brothers and sisters like you who really would mean business, really would mean business, and rise up to act and function and do something. I'll tell you, that would mean a lot. That would mean a lot. And so today I would like to talk in this way. And that is, I'm looking for that number. I'm looking for that number. Say 250 to 300 saints, if not 500 saints. they don't have the same degree of availability. I understand that. Some have three kids, some are single. They're all in a bit of different station in life. But in any event, they are of that category. And if we can have between 250 and 500 number of brothers and sisters who really would make a consecration, make a resolution to stand up and sign up and join in to the Lord's present move in their localities according to our fellowship, then I would say the Lord can really begin to turn this wheel in Northern California in this age group. I'm looking for that. I don't care how many people come to this fellowship, or I care for an army to rise up. Now you say, Brother Minoru, you are a heart master. You are a slave driver. You just, when you stand up to talk, you only make demands. You don't supply us. Well, I may seem that way, but I think I'm not that way. There comes a time, brothers and sisters, that we just need to go and do it. We just need to go and work. Enough talk, enough instructions, enough directions, enough principles, enough stirring up, you know, enough, you know, you know what I mean, encouragement. There comes a time you just need to go to work. I am both experienced in the secular world and in the spiritual world. In the secular world, I got my degrees and I work. And then I started a business. And today I still have a business, growing it. And then on the spiritual side, I have also, quote-unquote, started businesses, if you understand what I mean. According to the assignment in the work, you know, Chinese-speaking work in this country was very much under Brother Lee's leadership on my shoulders since the early 80s when I was just over 30. The churches, the campus work in this country, in Southern California, Bibles for America, I started it 15 years ago, and so on and so forth. So in the spiritual realm, I also have some experience. I will tell you one thing, insofar as getting something done and achieving some goal, these two are almost the same. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to accomplish something, you just have to put in the sweat, put in the work. And you don't just sit there and hope and dream. You can dream as big as you want, but you have to put your first foot forward. With a lot of unknowns, with a lot of risk taking, okay? Business by nature is full of risk. Otherwise, you don't be a businessman. And we are here doing the Lord's business. The Lord knows everything, but we don't know everything. We don't know when we step out whether a car will hit us. We don't know what the market will be like. We don't know how the weather will turn out. But if you go to do business, you just have to start by faith, you see. And so a lot of the things that cause a business to succeed It's the same thing in the spiritual realm, no different. I have said again and again and again to you how important your generation is to the Lord today. Right? Last year, I talk about vision, I talk about commission, I talk about history. I remember standing here just talking and talking and talking about these things. And that has not changed. Brothers and sisters, you are this next generation. You are, most of you, a part of the millennial generation, those who are born 1980 or 82 onwards. Not all of you, but I say many, many of you. So you're the millennial generation. And so the Lord's recovery is moving on, and in his further advancing and further move, the bulk of the burden are on your shoulders now, all right? Now, not tomorrow, but now. If you move, then something will happen, for sure. But if you don't, and you are still in a sort of a receiving position and not an aggressive kind of a taking initiative to act on these things, then nothing, I shouldn't say nothing, but we will still be slow and not doing what we should. So now don't let my talk in this way give you a kind of condemnation or a kind of a rebuke. I don't have that kind of a spirit, okay? But I want to tell you that it's action time, right? Even a small step, even a small practice, it's action time. Every big business starts with a start from the garage, you know what I mean? Or from a small little shop, and they grow and they grow and they grow. So many good things have taken place in this area. I'll tell you, there's truly an unprecedented one accord among the co-workers and the leading brothers, hence amongst the churches, has never been witnessed in the 50-plus years history in Northern California. That is a fact. You can be comforted by that. I cannot tell you all the details, but even yesterday we were 2 hours with the brothers there in Foster City, fellowshipping, the oneness of the brothers, the morale and the burden is more than even 2 years ago. More than 2 years ago. It's like everyone is like this, you know, waiting for the bell, you know what I mean, and just pounce. And I'm very, very, of course, very encouraged by that, extremely encouraged by that. I don't know the Bay Area as well as the brothers, and so from a distance, I would have to affirm and agree with their feeling regarding, in the spirit, about the move of the Lord in a very positive way. It's unusual. I even would say it is unusual, and even in my serving experience, that kind of a move is unusual. I told the brothers, in working for the Lord, one of the most important things is to detect the movement of the Holy Spirit. To be sensitive to the move of the Spirit. And the Spirit moves in very, very, actually in very, very deliberate ways and distinct ways, environmentally and through His anointing within us. And so I surely sense all these couple of years this very distinctive movement of the Spirit. And it's because of that that I felt to join the brothers here in this labor at this time. And I also will say that another seems like a kind of principle in the Lord's work or the Lord's move is that it is seasonal. It comes and it goes. If you don't catch the season, you don't catch the boat will leave without you. This is true. This is true. And the church history is filled with Christians who missed the boat. They're saved, you know, they're okay. But they missed the boat in the sense they missed the Lord's current move in that age for this or that reason. Now, today, the Lord's recovery is a particular move of the Lord on the earth. The Lord is moving everywhere, even in Christianity, because this is the age of grace. The Lord is moving everywhere among His children. But we know that this is the Lord's recovery. And there's a particular purpose that God would raise up a recovery as He did in time past and also today to accomplish a particular purpose. And that's why we're in the recovery today. And that comes with it, you know, that is what we call the commission of the Lord's recovery. And so today there needs to be a people that will find or follow the movement of the Spirit to advance the Lord's recovery, the Lord's interest in this age. And when the Spirit is stirring, when the Spirit is moving, we have to seize the opportunity and not miss this opportunity. When Russia came, that was a move of the Spirit over there, and we seized that opportunity, an open window at that time, and we planted a lot of saints over there, and now today you have several thousand saints and so many hundreds of churches. If we have not done so, nothing will have happened there. You and I did not directly participate in that, but that is a case in point. But I would like to tell you, my sensation is there is a time of life. There is a fresh moving of the Spirit, as it were, in North America right now. And I don't say this vainly. I don't say this just because I imagine it. I say this through some evidences, through what I see, because I'm quite involved in many regions in this country. And may I say that a lot of those move even began here since 2.5 years ago. And while this is going on, we also realize, at least I strongly feel, that a big part of this move must engage the working saints. The working saints must be actually a great factor in this move of the Lord to actually forward the work today. I feel very, very strongly about that, and that's why we're devoting this kind of time to be with you. Now, I hope, brothers and sisters, you would catch this. You would catch this. In the early 80s, Brother Lee called. Some of us serve full-time. Come out, leave your job, leave your thing, and come and serve full-time. I have many reasons not to. Many reasons. I can just number it and count it. But the move is the move. The call is the call. And if I did not respond to that call, I won't stop God's move. God's move will continue without me. Don't worry for the Lord. He will, nothing will stop our God until he's done. It's a flow. You know who will miss it? Who will suffer the loss? You or me. God doesn't wait. God is patient. God is gracious. But God doesn't wait. When God moves, he moves. And it's up to you whether you respond, whether you choose to engage or not. It's a very, very serious matter. And I feel it's time to plant that sense of seriousness into you, brothers and sisters. It's that real. It's that real. Many eyes today are on this area. You don't know that, but I know that. Ooh, what is going on in the Bay Area? Wow, we heard this and that in Northern California. No, I'm serious. And I am so afraid that after a while, nothing is happening in Northern California. It was some stir, it was great, then nothing happened. The Chinese have saying, thunder without rain. You know, have you heard of that? Lots of thunder, but not a drop of rain. Just noise, but nothing came down. That would be so, so unfortunate. Our loss is one thing, but the delay of the Lord's work is most serious. And so I want to really challenge you, brothers and sisters. Give yourself to the Lord now to engage. Okay. Did you get what I'm saying? Huh? You feel depressed by me? By this slave driver? This man that always, you're not doing enough? What's wrong with you? I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. Our brother Lee one time said, I don't fish with a hook, I fish with a pin. Do you know that? What's the point? He doesn't fish with a hook, he fish with a pin. You know, a pin doesn't catch a fish. A hook does, you know, right? The point is, God is not here to hook us. It's whether you bite or not. You see? That's why it's a pin. God doesn't go hook and drag you, just kicking and screaming. God, it's whoever will volunteer himself. It's still the principle of the Nazarite, the volunteers army that will rise up and do his bidding. Okay, I hope the word gets out not just to this group, but whoever is listening there by video. Now, last time in San Jose, a month ago, I began to talk about what? Fruit bearing, am I right? John 15, I began to talk about the structure, right, of the church. But I'd like to step back from that today. And not that that is not important. That is very important. But I also have some fear that I can talk like that, this, that, and the other. You nod your head, and that sounds good. That's it. That's it. Will I get 250 to 500 saints here? I mean, or are you here just to hear a message from me? Will there be 250 at least of your age group that will stand up to be counted? Or are you just here just to get some help? I like to know. I mean, without that, we cannot do much. We cannot do much. Okay. Today, I like to talk in this way. I like to talk to you in this way. I want to touch here a something deeper, something more of a strategic nature concerning what is needed for us to, you know, carry the Lord's burden forward today. And the need is for a certain fervor. You know the word fervor? Fire. A certain fire, fervor, and I'll use another F, faith, to come back to the Lord's recovery. Which fervor and fire and faith have been lost or severely diminished since the 1970s. From the years 1963, when the Lord's recovery started, until 1973, that fire was there. It was real. It was hot. And the result of that fire, or of that kind of spirit, or that kind of, eventually, that kind of atmosphere, resulted in a tremendous spread of the gospel, of the truth, outreach, even crazy migration. People just abandoning everything. You know, I told you the story that we burn everything. You know, we go to the beach and literally burn, smashing TVs, burning college degree, diplomas. No, really, really. I tell you, if we were not, there's not a fervor, there's not a fire, there's not a faith there, we won't do any of those. We'll be very sober. We'll be very calculated. We'll be very orderly. And there would be no, there would not be that kind of wild, just prevailing propagation. in one place called Eldon Hall, Los Angeles, a spiritual explosion took place in those 10 years that resulted in the Lord's recovery, literally spreading to the five continents. And you were not there, so you have to take my word, but some were there, and you can ask them. And since that time, the Lord's recovery is still here. Praise Him. This is His recovery. So the recovery is preserved, went through many things, and even the Lord's ministry progressed and went on and on. And today, the Lord's recovery has grown over even these years, and we have to bow our face to worship God for that. So I'm not here to complain. I'm here not here to despise the work of the Lord. I'm not here to diminish the labor of the saints and the co-workers and the brothers all these years. No, I'm not doing that. But I must tell you, as far as the USA is concerned, all right, my deepest aspiration and longing is for that fire to return. I don't mean we will do things the same way like 50 years ago, try to copy replicate Eldon Hall. No, there's no replication, okay? Actually, my burden is more than that. My burden is that the fire today will be greater even than that time. Greater even than that time. And so the prayer is that God would cast this fire on this earth. I talk about the fervor, the faith, the fire. I remember in those days, you cannot stop us. You cannot chain us down. You cannot zip our mouth. I mean, we were contagious. We were carrying what Brother Lee say, the Jesus germs, you know? Everywhere we go, we don't need people to tell us to preach the gospel. It's just, you know, whether it's using bullhorns or whether it is it's just coming out of us. There was such faith in the Lord and in this ministry and in the recovery and what is the Lord doing. We believe we were the center of the universe. We believe that this is going to burn the whole earth. We believe this is what will bring the Lord back, you know? We believe that. And it was not just a few. It was hundreds. And so from 1963 to 73, literally, we grew from 30 people to 3,000 people, a 10,000% increase. And, you know, Jim, I just read Brother Lee's message. He said there were 20-some people in 1958 in San Francisco when he first came, 20. And he was asked to set up elders, you know, Jonathan Kong, and you know what I mean? Only 20-some saints in the message. And in L.A., 30 at the most. So even in California, there's only about 50 people. By 73, there were 3,000. And that's not everybody. 10,000% increase. Right. Then a terrible rebellion took place that took away hundreds that were gained in that period. of people like you, mainly typical local Americans. In those days, almost no Chinese. Typical Americans. Just blew them out of the water, that terrible rebellion. And at the same time, the devil's stratagem to attack the ministry, to oppose us, put us in the category of cults, just blockaded us from every direction. So almost overnight, what was just a blossoming, blooming recovery, ready to just spread, and our brother has even done the math, in L.A., Los Angeles, we're going to have 70 halls, This is like a hall. We're going to have 70 of them. And we're going to have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of saints if we keep growing that way, for sure, the trajectory. And that double whammy just literally stopped us dead on our tracks. And the most terrible thing was not just that. The most terrible thing is it undermined our faith. It put out that fire. It took away our boldness and confidence. In the spread, in the gospel, in the Lord's recovery, and in the ensuing years, Brother Lee tried in the 80s in Taiwan to find a way to break through that. In other words, since that time, we will plunge into a condition of winter, of a dormancy. We went underground. Basically, we went underground. And in my words, we hid in the bunkers. When the bullets and cannons are flying, we hid in the bunkers. We felt the whole world was against us. And indeed it was. Every Christian almost at one time, it seems. And that took away our faith and our confidence and our boldness. And Brother Lee realized this, and he wanted to find a way out to fight this. And the Chinese-speaking word was one of his attempts in this country to break out. But yet that was only to the Chinese, the students mainly. And that was relatively successful. So he went back to Taiwan to find a more major way to break out of that. And in 5 years' time, he came back with the God-ordained way as a means, not as a technique, but as a practice to break us out of that, out of dormancy, out of a winter again. Well, neither did that happen because of another more serious storm that took place 10 years later in the late 80s. And so despite Brother Lee speaking, that did not happen. Now, in these 20 years since Brother Lee died, a lot of wonderful things happened. Really, really, you don't know. What a miracle that the Lord kept the recovery still together. Now, you may not have the same level of appreciation as I do or we do, some of us older saints, brothers. He, right, Jacob, we were coming up in the car. I went to Mountain View, and he brought me up. We were just talking. He said, he was very candid. when Brother Lee died or something like this, you know, outside people, there are outside people who keep their eye on us. Do you know that in Christianity? That when Brother Lee died, the whole thing, this thing will fall apart. Typically, it's first generation. When the founder is there, the founder is the glue. You know what I mean? The keeping a movement alive. When that founder dies, usually it just breaks up into pieces. And they're totally expecting that. And there was not another Brother Lee in the horizon, you know what I mean, some big whatever. And so this is going to just fray. And even some among us in the recovery think that way. That's likely what will happen. I tell you, not only we beat the odds of that kind of naysaying or thought, actually, to the contrary, we not only stay together, the recovery actually closed ranks and became more one by mainly the co-workers around the globe, especially those in the U.S. and those in Taiwan, closing ranks. And as difficult as it is to stay together, you know the revolutionaries in the U.S., you know, in the 1700s, the revolution. These patriots, right? These founding fathers. They know well what they're doing, you know, writing the Declaration of Independence and this and that. They are writing their own death sentence. If they're all caught, that's it. And that possibility existed, that they will all be caught. You know, that, you know, it's a bare threat, hanging on a bare threat, that the revolution succeeded. You don't know how many instances it should have failed. It was God's providence that kept it because God wanted this country. And so they were ready to live together or hang together, these patriots. Literally. That 50-50. Because it's treason, you know, am I right? You rebel against the crown, you know. You're this crazy colonist, you know. It's hanging in the balance. And brothers, they did that. I tell you, the co-workers hung together. And it was a price to be paid. We're talking about it. I can publicly say this. I'm thankful for the brothers, co-workers in Taiwan who would come fly over here, you know, 3-4 times a year. No, more than that. 5 times a year, 6 times a year. You try to do that. Trans-Pacific flights. And then come here and sleep in the meetings. You know, I see them because I speak. Half of them were sleeping. But I thank the Lord for them for doing this. Without that, we would have split. East and West might have just split. It is a price, a great price that some paid for the recovery to stay together. And of course, Taiwan and the U.S. is the key. So the Lord has mercy. The Lord has done too much. And I have nothing to say about that. This is memorable even in the New Jerusalem as far as I'm concerned. But I will tell you, as far as the U.S. is concerned, the fire has not come back. You see the difference? It's one thing that we're preserved. We're still kept. That's wonderful. But as far as that fire, that fervor, that boldness, that confidence, that, you know what I mean? It has not returned. Now, some brothers may feel it has. I'm only telling you that it hasn't. Not only so, before brotherly pass away, one of his last aspiration, as I said in the conference 2 years ago, was for yet a final revival to take place in the recovery, which will hopefully bring the Lord back. And that is even a greater thing than Eldon Hall. Great, much greater. Where is that revival? We're not talking about a Pentecostal revival. Of course, we're talking about a God-man revival. Am I right? A High Peak revival, and so on. Brothers and sisters, and I'm speaking to you now, not as I'm above you, you're young, you know, I'm this old guy telling you this. I'm almost speaking to you as my co-workers. I wouldn't say we are peers, but I would say you are my co-worker. I'm talking to co-workers. I just wish you will see this. And it is your burden to it is your turn to experience this. Now, don't have some kind of you don't need to imagine the manifestation of this revival, this kind of thing. You don't need to go there. But I'm talking about in an inner burden. When Brother Lee talked about Chi Fu, I wish we would experience Chi Fu again and more. When he talked about Shanghai, I wish we can experience Shanghai again. When you talk about Taiwan in the early days, I wish we would. But thank the Lord, I did. I was in one revival. I mean, I was there in the middle of it. And the peak of it was 1969. Brothers and sisters, now I'm just really opening my heart to you about this. The co-workers and the leading brothers are the most key, no doubt. But I would say next to them, it's you. It's you, the saints, the working saints in the churches. So, whereas we can fellowship about this way or that way, about twos and threes, or about small group, about many things that we need to talk about and even have some training in, if you don't have that fire, that burden, that dream, then we will still do things in a half-hearted way, somewhat a lukewarm way. You may say, well, that is the work of the Spirit. But I would like to tell you, the Spirit is already moving. The Spirit is already working. What he needs now is some to what? To rise up and match his move in the best way they can. That is what is waiting. I don't care if there's only one person. Gene Gruler, Sr., sat on a rocking chair and looked at me eye to eye with his bushy eyebrows, thick German accent, and his steely blue eyes. Yet within him, full of tenderness and burden to this young man who at that time was 20 years old, 19 or 20, he said, "Brother Minoru, the Lord today is still waiting for one man to be absolutely consecrated to him." That's all he said. That's not Brother Lee speaking. No message there. And anyone who knows Gene Grulli Sr. will know he is not a speaker. In the meetings, you hardly hear him in Eldon. You don't even know he was there. But he was the angel who came from New York City to kickstart the church life in Los Angeles in spring of 1962. And what? And that one sentence, one line, which was the same line that a brother who belonged to the Keswick movement in England spoke to D.L. Moody, before D.L. Moody gave himself, and eventually he became the greatest evangelist in America. He was a shoes salesman, D.L. Moody. And he just quoted that word to me, Brother Grulli. And that word, that little word, shook me to the core and just turned me upside down. Of all the words, the two words that I couldn't get out of me is one man. God is today waiting for one man, and when Brother Grulli looked at me in the eye, I knew what he meant by one man. He meant me, at least in that conversation. Brother, just one man. He's not looking for 100, 1,000. He's just looking for one man. One D.L. Moody meant thousands of souls. Thousands and thousands of souls. In a way, God does not care for numbers. He cared for a real Nazarite. And that one is what he needs to carry his work forward. Brothers and sisters, will you be that one man today? I am filled with hope, full of anticipation of what the Lord can do and will do here in the United States and Canada, and particularly here in Northern California. But I'm not dreamy. I'm not in the air. I know there's only one way that the Lord can carry out what he wants to do, and that is men and women who would rise up as one. To cooperate with him. I hope you will be. Look no further. I'm looking at you. I don't look at the college age. They are critical. They are the future. In fact, in Northern California, for us to gain the increase, a great percentage must come from the college campuses. But I'm not even looking at them because they're younger. They are not yet mature. I must look at you. those who are in their late 20s, 30s, and 40s. I must look at you. Now, today, I'd like to just read some verses and say a few things to you. In, by the way, before I go there, I'll tell you that if you read Brother Lee's messages from the 80s and the 90s, early 90s, on this subject, you know, this subject of dormancy, which is evidenced by a great lack of increase. A great lack of increase, unlike the early days. And so, in this move of the Lord, brothers and sisters, one of the main thing, in fact, almost like the first thing I would like to share with you as a burden is the need for increase. I did not say the need for truth nor life. Not that they are not important, but I would say to some degree we have quite a lot of truth. You agree with me? Those of you been to FTTA, you're still going to the Seven Feasts, you read the life studies, you so forth. There's quite a lot of truth. Even in life, we have very much concentrated on life and center on life and stress the inner life necessarily. But truth and life are not the end, an end in themselves. Truth and life is for fruit, for growth, for spread, for the vine to multiply, for much fruit to be born. God wants fruit. And this is the need of the churches in America today. Mainstream Christianity have been on the decline for a couple of decades now, or more. You know what I mean by mainstream, the Methodist, the Episcopalian. The mega churches pretty much have run its course. You know the mega churches? It was the thing in these last 20 years. It's almost run its course. It has become the latter-day denomination. You know, it's just a big marketing thing. Where is the Pentecostal movement going today? Needless to say, the once upon a time prevailing brethren had long ago faded away. What is there that the Lord can point to with pride, with boast among his work, among his children on the earth today? You tell me. You tell me. All this conservative movement in the U.S., the so-called Tea Party, and you know what I mean, once upon a time called the moral majority, it's gone political. Where is the truth? Where is the testimony of God? Where is the real church life that the Lord wants? And look, brothers and sisters, with that as a background, today there are probably more people than ever who is what? Lost and seeking and wanting still in the human heart to know God and to know salvation and to know the truth and to know life. I can say this with some authority because of my labor with Bibles for America. And John has just joined that, Bibles for America. Daily, we're inundated with emails and letters and all of that. Give us thanks. Just, where have you been? You know, thank you. This Bible has turned my life around. I'm giving it to all my family members. I'm getting on my whole Bible study group, my whole congregation. I don't believe you guys would give this away free, but thanks very much, you know. It's everywhere. State after state like this. There is that, and the Lord's help and the brother's labor, people like Hanegraaff, am I right? Even help us to put out this thing called "We Were Wrong." Have you seen that? They're even saying it at the risk of their own reputation and their association. They stuck their necks out. And as far as I know, a certain book is now being written to even more affirm the life, the truth, and life. You know, Hanegraaff say, first he saw the truth. So he have in his little wristband, truth matters. Now he put on another band called life matters. He's beginning to touch the life of the Lord's recovery, not just the truth. And these are people outside. I wouldn't be totally surprised that one day the Lord will have a revival outside the recovery. Because they read the recovery version. They start to practice. Who knows? And here, we're in the recovery, we are just bobbing and floating and bathing in the riches and everything else. But what are we doing? Brothers and sisters, what are we doing? If anyone who should have this commission to spread this kingdom of the gospel, it's us. This High Peak Gospel, am I right? You know, recently, did you listen to some of the ICSC, whatever, you know? If you are don't understand Chinese, I gave 4 messages in English in Virginia Beach last week. Pretty good. Because we have 5 messages ICSC. We have only 4 sessions, so I took one out. And that is message number 3 on the structure of the gospel. I took that out. So we have 4 messages. Number 1 on the gospel of the kingdom. Number 2 on the gospel of grace. Number 3 on the gospel of Paul or gospel of completion. And lastly, the highest point of the gospel, that is the high peak. I gave that in English. So you want to listen to English, go and contact the brothers in Virginia Beach or in D.C. or something. And the more I speak on that to the saints, the more I am just astounded with what we see, what we were given. in the recovery, the gospel. Then I say, Lord, who is preaching this? Who should be preaching this? Who has this? We do. So all I can do, we can do with Bibles for America is to just toss these books out as much as we can free. You know, a lot of people don't believe that we do that, you know, free this Bible with all these notes and all these things free. But because, just because. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you. You know what your job is? Your job is to preach the gospel. This gospel. The gospel in all these four aspects. Christianity at the most have second aspect. Even that aspect is quite incomplete because they don't know what full grace is. They think grace is unmerited favor. It is. But our understanding of grace is what? The triune God. Am I right? To be everything to us, etc., etc. That's what we know. But who is doing it? Who is telling the people? And brothers and sisters, your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues, the people around, surely the students, they want this. But no, they need someone to tell them. And even like the Ethiopian eunuch, even he knew to quote Isaiah, but he didn't know what it meant until Philip was sent to interpret it. Then he got it and he got baptized. And that, according to history, was the start of Christianity in the continent of Africa. By one man again. By one man. Oh, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else I can do to prompt you, to make you rise up and go to preach this gospel. I am hoping that BFA, we can work out a scheme, a plan, to get all of you here to become the propagators of this truth in this Bible and in these books. And I will tell you, many will write back in and say, I want contact. Trust me, the problem is not reaching out and people being open. The problem is follow up. Follow up. Which leads me now to my burden today. Okay, I'm going to read a few verses with you. Are you okay? Do we need a break? We can have a break. Huh? I already gone for over an hour. Want to keep going? All right, I'll keep going. No problem. I read Philippians 1:27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether coming and seeing you or being absent, I may hear of the things concerning you, that you stand firm in one spirit, with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. So here, brothers, Paul's in a book on the experience and pursuit of Christ. Elevate this burden of the gospel very, very much. Proving that the enjoyment of Christ and the preaching of the gospel cannot be separated. We cannot just say, I enjoy Christ day and night in the church life, and yet we don't preach the gospel. These two things are not mutually exclusive. So here is what is the standing firm in one spirit and striving together with one soul along with the faith of the gospel. It is the gospel personified. And let me read another verse, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer evil with the gospel according to the power of God. Again, here the gospel is personified. Personified. And Timothy was charged not to be ashamed of the Lord or his testimony, but to suffer with the gospel according to the power of God. Now, on that note, on the power of God, I'd like to read a few verses. Firstly, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 7, of which I became a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me, according to the operation of his power. So you remember the word, an operating power in Paul. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. And then in verse 20, but to him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? To the power which operates in us. The same power in chapter 1 of Ephesians. You know, the fourfold power, the what? Resurrection power, the ascending power, the transcending power, and the overruling power. Fourfold power of Christ that today has been installed in our inner man. And then one last verse, and that is Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, for which also I labor. What is which? Which means the announcing, the admonishing of every man, the teaching of every man, that we can present every man full grown in Christ. For which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. So, brothers and sisters, here's the burden. Here's my burden. I will say plainly, the need today is the increase. I will say this. I will not shy away from this. Yes, we need to grow in life. Yes, we need more truth. In fact, yesterday in the training with the leading brothers, the whole subject is on the need to study and know the truth and be constituted. But this afternoon, I'm not talking about that. I will tell you what is needed in Northern California right now, the increase. Amen. The increase. Amen. More sinners being saved. More seekers being enlightened. More new believers to be added, more saints in the church life, the growth in numbers. I say this, the growth in numbers in the local churches. I believe fresh faces will ignite us. Amen. New, young believers will stir us up, which even we cannot stir us each other up with. New people will. I believe this gospel exercise will cause the truth that you know in your head to become reality in your being. Because you have to speak them. I believe the care of new ones will force you to grow in life. We have 2,500 every Lord's Day in the churches in this area. We need to have 5,000. Imagine. 2,500. 5,000. Just imagine in San Francisco, this hall, you have what? On Lord's Day now, 220. That there will be 440 spilling out of this hall. How would you feel? You know how would I feel? I would feel, let's go another, get another 400. There is a virtuous cycle that we have dropped off decades ago. The need today is for us to get out of that dormant cycle that is also cyclical. And it's like a wheel, you know, this hamster that couldn't get off. And so even one generation after generation, what happens? We will continue to pass on a kind of lukewarmness, a kind of barrenness, a kind of lack of increase from one generation to another generation. But I am burdened that it's time to reverse, stop that cycle, get off of it, and get on a virtuous one. And that cycle will bring us into more cycle, more burden, and before long, a fire will be ignited. What is needed today in the churches is not for me to preach to you and you to preach to me, like in many of our prophesying meetings. What we need are some new faces that we preach to, and for them to stand up and say, nonsense. We will all like to hear some nonsense. But at least it's a new face and not the same old guys. Just kind of everyone, we all can mouth these things now after so many years. I say this strongly, and I have brotherly backing me up. And I have quotes after quotes. Starting in 84, I mean, listen, 30 years ago, that was, he could not sleep. He could not do anything. But to find a way, I am still finding a way. I'm following him. It's an unfinished work. And now there's a chance. There seems to be some movement, some work of the Lord, some new season coming around of spring. Brothers, I need your help. You sitting here. The recovery needs you. I like to see the churches up here all have a change of culture. No less. You don't know even our present church life, it's old. Yes, we practice a lot of things that Christians do not practice. Don't boast in that. We're old. We need a change, I'll tell you, in our Lord's table meeting. We need a change in our prophesying meeting. We need an utter change in a lot of our small group gatherings. We're not hot. We're not burning. We're somewhat in a lot of routine. And brothers and sisters, look no further and say, well, what's going to happen? Let's work together and change this. I am not promoting revolution like some Democratic candidate is. I'm not promoting for sure rebellion, you know. Please don't do that. We tried that. Didn't work out so well. Be pure. Be submissive. Be one. But otherwise, brothers and sisters, be bold. Be confident. And go and labor according to the operation of that power in you. We have become quite a nice bunch of people in the recovery. Nice people finish last. Or nice guys finish last. No, we're not nice people in the Lord's recovery. We are what? We're hot people. We're crazy people. We're people with a purpose. The world is still looking for meaning. And we found it in the 60s. Goodness, goodness. You know, my wife and I, we were just talking. We said in those days, no one comes and tells us, go and preach the gospel. It's automatic. The fire just come out. And we offended some people. Yeah, we did. But Lot just flocked in. There is such attraction, such, you know, like fireflies, when there's light and fire, you know, they just go to where the light is. This light is too powerful, too real. Even so, it's a bit offensive. You can't deny it's shining. So, now I want to say this. I purposely don't want to use terms like God-ordained way, vital groups, because once I said this, you or some of you will just say, same old thing again. I know what you're going to talk about. So I deliberately avoid using those terms. Not that they're wrong, but I almost want to have a new start. Brothers, let me tell you, it's not even the way. It's how burning you are. If you're burning, even the old way will save people. Jim and I, we talk about, in those 10 years, we did not have the term the God-ordained way. You bet we were 1,000% in the God-ordained way. 1,000%. That church life was just like, even Brother Lee just longs and, you know, on the one hand, he told us, don't think about the good old days. On the other hand, he talks about the good old days. He said, I wish. He said, I remember the people singing on the streets. You know, even on this matter, we need a lot of help to come back to a church life filled with singing. Happiness, not this kind of depressed look, you know. Game face in the meeting, you know. No, it's just happiness, joy, and singing, and almost a new song come out every week. And today, it's those songs are old from the 60s, are still our new supplement. It's 40-some years old. How many new songs have we have since then? We have a few, but those songs were like, I mean, it is like overflow from talk about the enjoyment of the Lord. Brothers, sometimes I'm afraid I speak too much. The more I speak, the more I quench the fire. You know? But I don't care. I'm going to just speak until the kingdom of the Lord comes down. That's my job. I'm just a big mouth. I'm going to talk and speak until you have to start agreeing, you know. And I want to speak until you move. And you don't wait for me. You don't wait for the elders. You just start going. I tell you, it starts with one man. You know what I talked to you about, the three levels? Number one, the individual. Number two, the twos or threes. Number three, the small group, the group. Number four, the district. You remember that? It still starts with one. We still start with one. And that's why I say, look no further. If one man, the vital group start with one saint who is desperate for the increase of the Lord's recovery. I quote that. That's a quote. And the vital group exists not for socializing, not for having a good time. The vital group exists for only one purpose, to gain increase. Everything is for the increase. I'm blowing the trumpet now, which I will blow in, what, 2 weeks from now or whatever, April 17. I'm going to blow this trumpet. This morning I was in Mountain View. They baptized two. And they have baptisms rather regularly. I tell you, and a number of the saints, they are very young in Mountain View, including even some of the responsible ones are young, in their 20s, late 20s. On the other one hand, they were young. On the other hand, I was very happy, very happy. I said, the more the better. My, today, if there are 5,000 saints here, mostly young people, your age and younger, I tell you, there will be a revival in Northern California. In fact, you will be burned by the new ones. I'm very concerned. You know, I went to Virginia Beach. They have some crazy ones from Christianity that came. They just put me to shame. I could do what they did years ago, like praying nonstop for hours and singing the top of my lungs. I couldn't do it anymore. But I'm afraid to adjust them. They're a little wild, you know, a little too much. But I don't want, like Brother Lee didn't adjust us. He just let us burn. We need a change. We need a revival. Amen. The Lord's recovery needs a revival. Amen. I'm talking about the U.S. So I like to see a new culture replacing the old in the church life. What kind of culture? A gospel preaching culture. A people-centered culture, a reaching-out culture. No more ingrown, no more introverted, no more just you and me looking at each other, but go find somebody. They're out there on that street right there. They're on those campuses down the street in state. They're in your job. But we've been hiding, and we're used to hiding now. We're ashamed of the gospel. So here I would like to say this, and I will let you say something. And that is, make no mistake, this is not a stir, you know, flash in the pan that I'm promoting. I tell you, this kind of labor will require tenacity. It will require endurance. You know, in the Lord speaking, always in the Paul and also even in Revelation, even in Thyatira, a few things are always there as virtues: love, faith, and endurance. The labor of love, the work of faith, and the endurance of hope. Love, faith, and endurance are three characteristics of a thriving church life. And I like to stress the last one, and that is endurance. There is no replacement for hard work. Just to be stirred up and do a few things wouldn't work. We didn't give away 1.3 million Bibles just taking it easy. I cannot tell you the sweat and the tears that goes into doing that. And we now want to give out the same number of Bibles in half the time. I have to go and ask for money so that we can print those Bibles. It's not a very pleasant and glorious thing to ask for money, you know. But what can we do? We need money to print Bibles, to give them out. I tell you, a work of value is built up by hard work. No shortcut. And so even if we give out Bibles and tracts and everything, people would come and knock on our doors, we still need to have endurance to shepherd them. When I say the gospel, I don't mean just an initial contact just to get someone saved or give someone a Bible. I mean to bring them to the Lord and them to bring them into the church life. Am I right? Shepherd them, feed them to become a living, functioning member in the body, in the church life, just like you. And if it takes 3 years for us to gain such a one, do it. And let's say it's only one-third of you will do this. Only one-third of you, 300 of you in the Bay Area, working saints, would take this seriously and do this. I tell you, it will start this thing turning. So I would like to end now to give you some practical ways, right? Not as methods. Needless to say, we all, in order to do this, need to live a normal Christian life, right? Which is an overcoming Christian life. In our contact with the Lord, being revived every morning, I don't need to say that. But let that not just be doing a morning revival just to get revived. There's business to do. That's why we need to get revived. And then daily, to live by the Lord, to be one with the Lord, to walk by the Spirit, to obey Him, to overcome all these things of the flesh, of the world. We just live that way, brothers. Let us determine. You know, we used to sing a song, I have decided to walk in spirit. It's a decision. You make a decision, and you go do it. That doesn't mean you won't fail. But a decision, nevertheless. Consecration is a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotional high. Real consecration is a decision. Amen. Handing over your life to the Lord. Amen. You make a decision to live such a life. Lord, we will be different. I don't mean I will be strong. I don't mean I won't fail. But I make this decision to live a normal Christian life, which is an overcoming life. Then, brothers, with that life, right, what do you need to do? You need to budget your time. You need to budget your schedule. Don't just leave it in the air. Well, I'm burdened. I'm going to do something. That is not solid. That is not adequate. You need to budget your time. Now, how to budget your time? Amongst other things, you should budget 2 hours a week. 2 hours a week. I ask for 2 hours a week of your time, a very busy time you have already. But I still ask for 2 hours. because it's not too much. Just to do things when you feel like it won't work. Trust me, it will not work. I have not succeeded in anything in my life by feeling to do something. I accomplish things only when I have a schedule and a plan and I get it done. This is that kind of a work. So budget. You got 168 hours a week. You take away the sleep time of 8 hours a day, you still have 112 hours a week of awake, time awake. You take away your work time, commute time, family time, this and that. I calculated for working saint, you still can give roughly 22 to 25 hours to the Lord, the church life. I mean, meetings, you know what I mean? And I even counted in there morning revival time, Bible reading time. I even added that to it. It's about 22 to 25 hours. And of your 112 hours, and I'm asking, even these 2 hours is, I think, built into the 22, I think. I have to look at it again. 2 hours. You tell the Lord, Lord, I mean business. I'm gonna sign up for 2 hours a week or three to give to you every week to what? To engage in the gospel, to contact people. Whether it's calling people, whether it's writing to people, whether it's inviting your colleague to your home for dinner, whether it is visiting some friends of yours, whether it is going to the campus. I don't care what you do. There are many ways, and we will not pigeonhole any one of us, but you answer to your master, the Lord. He wants 2 hours from you. That's all. Besides your church life meetings and all these things, 2 hours to contact people every week. You can choose the day. You can choose the hour. Flexible. Now, I am really getting into the practical now. I cannot wait and just talking about visions. 2 hours. I want 2 hours from you. How many of the 1,000 brothers and sisters will give 2 hours? You know, they in Burlingame, they get on the computer, am I right? They use the computer, they build their own, what? I don't know what you built to with the help of BFA in to Facebook ads to in there, some nucleus, I mean some radius over there to spread the Bible and books. Am I right? And they got a number of people responding. Am I right? Right? Even some wanting to be contacted. Am I right? And now you have one baptized. Now, it seems they have put in so much money to do all that. This and that. Now they have only one baptized. Now you may say, this is not good business, you know. The return is just small. Well, have you done it? Don't criticize them. What have you done? What have you put out? How are you going to face the Lord? They have at least one to face the Lord with. And I believe this one is just the beginning. And they will tell you, just to gain one takes so much time. It's called follow-up. And hence, endurance. Hence, you need the power that operates in you to bust through the adversity, the pushbacks, the disappointments, the no-shows, the gaining someone and they slip away. All this will happen, I will predict. But you don't stop. You just keep at it. because there's a power in you. Amen. Until we reverse the trend in the church life. I am not going to tell you this is easy. But I will tell you, this is worthwhile and this is valuable. You don't have to do what they do, but I suggest you talk to them and find out what they do. We have saints in Google. We have several saints in Apple. We have saints in the big four accounting firms. We have saints everywhere. What is happening? And I am dying to find out, find ways to sort of invade and get into these corporations with the gospel, with Bible studies, I don't know what they allow you to do in their different policies. If you have a heart, there's a way. You don't take no for an answer. That's Brother Witness Lee. He came here a little China man, with English so thick with Shandong province that I can hardly understand. Not only the Americans couldn't understand, even I could not understand. It's not even your Beijing English accent, you know, you can understand pretty. This Shandong, you know, it's really, even Chinese have a hard time understanding Shandong Mandarin, you know. But he came with a commission and just plow on. Get in the old American Rambler. You know a car called Rambler in the 60s? There's a car called American Cars. The brand is American. It's defunct for a long time. It's called the American Rambler. And Brother Samuel Chang will drive and Brother Lee will sit there on the side writing his hymns. Many hymns that are published are written on the road. And travel to as far as Alabama and Kentucky and places that you would never thought you have never been to. He was there just to visit one name, you know, one name from the Stream magazine. That's Witness Lee when he is in his almost 60 years old, China man. Today's, you know, people don't look at you if you're a China man. Am I right? Those days, it's like aliens, you know. That's how the work is started. We have it easy, brothers. We have it easy. We don't know what kind of price was paid, but it's your turn, brothers and sisters. You can bear fruit. So let me continue. So number two is what? Budget and plan. If you don't, those hours will slip away with you watching your device and wasting time. Then actually, just removing yourself from the device, there's already 2 hours there of unprofitable viewing of things you don't need. Really. It's time we put our legs and where our mouth is. Don't shortchange the Lord. We promise Him. Don't owe the Lord. We consecrate it to Him. He's now coming to ask you, child, where is your 2 hours? What are you doing for me? Don't be the third slave. The third slave, am I right? It's too hard. I can't do it. I bury my talent. Okay? Go to the outer darkness. The branch that does not bear fruit, it says he cast away. It will be burned into the fire. Don't be that branch. I'm exceedingly serious with all of you because I feel it's time. I feel you are ready and you need this charge. Otherwise, I cannot do anything anymore. I can only talk. And talking can only go so far. Even if not 250 of you, even if 25 of you will rise up, something will happen. We got a pattern. We got a vanguard. We got some who will cut the way. So the next thing is what? I would say you need to find one or two companions, partners, I would say, business partners. This morning, we have a good word up there in Mountain View. Based on Matthew 18, I say there's two or three, which I talked about last month. I say they are, number one, spiritual companions to pursue Christ. Number two, prayer partners to bind and loose. And number three, they are what? They are a visiting team to rescue people. You go read Matthew 18. Three functions of the twos and threes. You cannot go solo. Now, as one branch, you are responsible to the Lord to bear fruit. It all starts with one man. But thank the Lord today, we're in the body. We have other members. We have a support system. So find one. A husband and wife can be the two. A brother, three brothers who work in Google can be the three. And they come together. If they come together for 1 month, 5 days a week at work, at lunch, and pray their hearts out for Google, their department, you don't believe something will happen? You don't believe the Lord will stir them up to do something? It will. Sisters who are at home with children, the housewife, two of you, three of you, get on the phone. You are the partners. Think about your community, the parks. There are lots of people out there. No need to be so discriminating. You don't know who are the sons of peace. Talk about two or three, Jacob. The Lord sent two of them out, two by two. 70 of them, two by two, to every village. So again, you have two and threes, or threes. So you, not in a formal way, not in a legal way, you just partner. You know, today even at work, they have project teams, am I right? Two or three, you can just talk and brainstorm and set goals and very flexible and very effective, you know. That's how things are done today in the workplace. It's the same thing. Let's the three of us, we will dream big for Google, you know. We will think of a way to break into Google with the gospel of Jesus. Be innovative. Think of ways. These so-called vital groups did not work in many places because it lost its purpose. Saints thing to have vital group is just, let's come and be vital, your birthday, my... let's enjoy the Lord. You can do that only for so long. It's not bad. But eventually, you need a purpose, like a project team. You are not there to socialize with your colleagues, are you? You're there to what? Innovate, right? A new product to make money for your company. That's what the kind of spirit we need to have. Amen. Don't ask me how long should we meet and how many times a week should we use Skype. Don't ask me those questions. do you really need to ask me those questions? How old are you? They're paying you six-figure monies, high-five-number-figure money, and you still ask me these kind of elementary questions? All I ask is, where's your heart? You want to make this company money? Here's other resources. Now go to work. So find one or two who share the same heart. The Chinese have a saying. Well, I told them. Anyway, you know Chinese. 志同道合. That means we are what? We are people with the same kind of what? Purpose. So we join together and to make that happen. Do that. You can find one like this. Sisters, you can find some like this. Now, don't do this and make yourself like you are the elite. Well, those things, they are dead. We are the vital. We are overcomers. Don't do that. You don't do that. I tell you, actually, the whole church needs to preach the gospel. Amen. Some in the front line, some in the what, home front, some more energetic in the front, some older ones. We need everyone. Eventually, the whole church will be filled with a gospel preaching, outreaching atmosphere. Amen. But some of us, younger like you, should be on the front lines. Some of you on the taking care of the campus, college students. Some of you in the neighborhood. Some of you in the workplace. Whatever it may be, brothers and sisters, I tell you, fishing ponds are everywhere. The fish are jumping. It's not that. It's not that. It's us. And I would like to tell you, gospel preaching and fruit bearing is crazily addictive. Once you taste the joy of saving a soul, you want to save another one. Amen. Once you taste the joy of bringing someone into the boat, you know what I mean? There's such a joy, you want to do it again. And the more you don't have that experience, the more you don't want that experience. You're scared, you excuse yourself. But the more you do this, the more you have more faith that you can do it. Right now, many of us don't have even the faith that you can bear fruit, that you can preach the gospel successfully. But that's not because you cannot do it, because you have not done it. We need the faith of the gospel restored. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we can. Amen. I'm not Obama. Yes, we can. You know, that's an old slogan, 8 years old already. But I like to say we can. Don't say we cannot. We can. I've never borne one fruit. But you go and pray to the Lord and beg the Lord and deal with the Lord and say, pray the Hannah prayer. If you don't give me a child, I'll die. The Lord won't let you die. The Lord say, okay. So I'll give you a fruit. We have turned into a bunch of wimpy, lukewarm, purposeless believers enjoying the church life. We're not here for that. Thank the Lord for the church life. But this church life can be a lot more robust and burning and living like what we have never seen, even in our own lives. Do you believe that? Amen. Yes or no?
Amen.
Well, not so strong. Because you have not seen it, but you will see it. Now, brothers and sisters, you go do it. You go do it. So, with that, prayer and resolution and consecration. With that, budgeting and planning. And with that, what? Looking, finding a partner or two to join, link arms together, really like partners right here. We're partners, right? Okay, that means something. There's a kind of special relationship there. We're gonna risk together, and we're gonna live together, and we're gonna die together. And if it doesn't work out, we both will
die.
We will go down in flames together.
Amen.
Now, when you have that kind of spirit, things will happen. Things will happen. No, the days of the nice and withdrawn recovery, I declare, is over.
Amen.
The recovery is now on the offensive.
Amen.
We're no longer taking a defensive posture.
Amen.
It's been too long.
Amen.
I like to declare winter is drawing to an end.
Amen.
Springtime is approaching.
Amen.
I just declare this.
Amen.
And let's make that happen.
Amen.
Now, you need to persevere. That's my last word. Don't just do it once in a while. This whole year, you need to do this. And we have set up 15% increase per church for the whole Northern California. Every church will increase by 15%. I believe we may exceed that. That means in San Francisco, you have 220 people times 15%. Next year, you will have on Lord's Day, plus 33, 253 people next year. And that's hardly noticeable increase. But it will be a good start.
Amen.
I don't want to set the bar too high, so we would set ourselves for failure. Let's get there next week, next year. And then next year, our faith will be mightily boosted, and we will tell ourselves the year after that, 20%.
Amen.
And I will tell you, it will become normal. Normal. Not a flash in the pan. In 10 years, at least, we will double.
Amen.
And along with this increase, a lot of other good things will follow. Okay. Did I get your buy-in?
Amen.
Or just another little help to the working class, you know? Just action. Next time when I come here in a month, am I right? I'm going to ask. I won't say anything. I will just ask you to tell me, what are you doing this month? What did you do this last month? I'll check. Dennis, we're here for real. Okay? You know, it is always scary to walk into the unknown. But once you walk one step, and you found out, goodness, I didn't die, you know. Aha, then you're more likely to walk the second. I still didn't die. You're going to keep walking, I tell you. You build up your faith.
Amen.
In the Lord.
Amen.
In the Lord. Okay? Pray much, brothers.
Amen.
Pray much for this. This is real. This is real. It's going to happen. All right, how about you share something? You share something now. Okay?
Bill, this is such an opportunity to be a part of the recovery of the fire, the fervor, and the faith in the Lord's recovery. And I think what it requires is that we mean business with the Lord. And, you know, the fire fire from heaven did not come down and consume the offering unless the offering was upon the altar. And I feel that
to the church life, that this kind of fire could be recovered, that the fire from heaven could come down upon our meaning business with the Lord. You know, so when we come to the meetings, we should come to the meetings as if we come to a business meeting. Right? We need to be on time. We need to mean business. And then maybe with our business partners in the Lord, right, we would set a quota to gain a new one, maybe in 2016. Have this kind of goal to set before the Lord.
Amen.
So I just have the sense that we are being called to mean business with the Lord.
Amen. I really like this analogy of meaning business with the Lord. I've never been in so many fellowships where brothers talk about business so much, coming from other localities. But We are like Apple, and Samson's not even around, right? We have the best. We have the best goods. We believe in our product, right? Maybe many years ago, I would have been very reserved. If someone asked me, just the other week, someone asked me, "What church do you go to? Do you go to a denomination? What's your background?" Many years ago, I would say, well, it's kind of a non-denominational. But this time, I just told him, we are the church.
Amen.
We are only the church.
Amen.
There is no denomination.
Amen.
He said, oh, I get it. Yeah, I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
It's different. Now everything is clear. We have the faith. We have the confidence in the ministry, in the truth. We have the footnotes, the New Testament with the footnotes. We have all these. Now we can go out and speak to all these people. We don't have to be afraid anymore.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We all know, those of us who work in the Bay Area, we know that there's a common phrase, says bias towards action, right? That is how any startup gets things done, right? And so you have the leaders of this company who wants to unlock the innovation of their employees to get things done. Of course, there's objectives, right? There's objectives. But I feel like some permission has been granted, right, to bias towards action.
Amen.
Right? You know, in other words, there's always a hesitancy when you're young and doing something new, you want to make sure you do it correctly, right? And I feel like many of us, we have that. Plus compounded that we want to do everything in a kind of in a proper way, right? We don't want to offend the headship, the church, the eldership. We want to do everything in fellowship. And so I feel today that there's a proper aggressiveness.
Amen.
Has been spun in.
Amen.
Of course, we need to do things by fellowship and in the body, and we must submit to the elders and fellowship with them. But now I feel more comfortable that there's still a lot of room where we can bias towards action.
Amen.
And fellowship and continue in the fellowship.
Amen.
All the coming successes and failures, right, and mistakes. And so I just would like to thank the Lord. And I think many of us who have been in business, we somewhat have
you know, this culture has taught us a few things on how to get things done, right? So, and I feel like there's been some hesitancy to apply that, and not enough, because we don't want to be non-spiritual, right? We don't want to be, but so I feel that today that we can do that, we can apply some of these things in a proper way, in the sense of doing business with the Lord. Amen. What is wrong with setting goals and scheduling and partnering with those who has the same goals? Amen. There's nothing. There's, and even the Lord could come in and mingle himself with that. Amen. Something very human, right, to get things done. So I feel like all of these things, saints, I feel like that we have been given the permission today. Amen. to bias towards action.
Amen.
And of course, we must start by prayer, right?
Amen.
But if we have a feeling, let's maybe bias towards following that.
Amen.
Following that with some of our companions. Amen.
Amen.
I was trying to find some statistics. I think how do I say this? I think this is a response to this burden for many years. We had the Godordained Way training in Northern California a few years ago. And we feel that at that time, a lot of saints have the burden to preach the gospel. And I think many of us were burdened for the gospel, but we didn't have a way to find the seeking ones. You know, some of us were able to, if you have time, you're able to go to the campus, you're able to talk to the neighbors, but we don't have a consistent way to daily or weekly to have new ones and to have the ones we talk to. So eventually, I think we were very burdened for the Godordained Way. The training was somewhat, I feel it was a success, but there was no way to carry out in each locality. And last time, I remember when Romanor was here with some of us to have this, I don't know if you remember this, about a year ago, right? You shared on the burden that we would take ownership of Bibles America to become a stakeholder, become a shareholder, right, to carry this out. And the main burden of that is, how do we help the working saints to be able to find someone to talk to, right? That while you're busy, while you're in front of your computer, that you're able to find someone to shepherd. So that's where this, I would say, this burden, this idea came up, that maybe we can use something like Facebook to, through advertisement, to actually contact some of the ones. Then there's a brother in Burlingame, right? His job was to basically spend millions of dollars a week trying to acquire users. So he was working for a gaming company. So all the gaming company, they want to find what they call these leads or users. They're willing to spend money. They want to find these crazy gamers that when they love certain games, they will spend hundreds of dollars a week, right? They have this lifetime value. So they say if they find this user, gamer, that they are going to spend all, you know, thousands of dollars with the company. So they're willing to pay a few hundred dollars sometimes just to acquire a user, because they realize that there is a lifetime value of this gamer, right? They're going to spend thousands of dollars with them. So at that time, we're like, oh, maybe we should try the same mechanism to find some seeking ones, find some Bible lovers. Maybe we can acquire them, right? Maybe we can find out who these people are. That's one burden, right? We need to find some ways to preach the gospel. And the other burden we had was we're burdened for the typical Americans. We're burdened to find the Hispanics, right? We're burdened to find the Indians. I'm burdened to find the non-Chinese. If they're not Chinese, I'm willing to talk to you, right? And I feel that was a burden. I would say, you know, for the last 20 years, it was installed. But Martin and I, we were we were in the training during the last days, right, when Brother Lee was speaking on the vital groups. And Brother Lee was so burdened on the matter of gaining the typical Americans. And that was the burden of the vital group, is to gain the typical Americans. And I feel that to us, it's an unfinished business. Amen. We have not able to find some ways to carry this out. And so the burden is really just to try something, not using some of these things that people are using, right, for the enterprises that we're able to find these seeking ones. So we start basically using our own money, right, start doing the advertisement. And the first time we did, I don't know how much I need to share this, but there's a history, a lot of history on this. Okay, so basically in San Mateo, we spend about $3,000. We're trying to find any seeking ones within about 10-mile radius of San Mateo. Then, John, do you remember the number I sent you to the PowerPoint? I don't. Right, so I think we got about 40, right? Seeking ones. It's been a while, so I.
Average to 60 or 70.
Right, so we were able to. So every $70 we spent, $75, we were able to acquire a someone's interested in meeting with us. Then initially, we actually direct these leads to the Bibles America website. And at that time, the Bibles America website was not, like, called mobile optimized. Right, so that was very hard for them to find the information and input their information. So what we did was we fellowship with the serving ones there. Then we decided to do our own landing page. So we make the landing page very simple. And instead of asking them for email, we ask them for cell phone numbers. Because we feel that in the past, just all these years of experiences, it was very difficult to follow up. If you just had the email, whenever you email them, they never reply. Then it's almost impossible to have a live contact and follow up with them. So we thought, oh, maybe we'll try something new. So instead of asking for email address, we asked for phone number. We basically asked for two questions. One is their cell phone number. The other one is, do you want to have a local contact or a local Bible study? And it turns out that many of them were willing to give us their cell phone numbers. Actually, all of them. We were able to get about 40 contacts. And 80% of them indicate that they wanted to have a local Bible study with us. So the same mechanism, the same advertisement, right? And we apply to Santa Rosa, then Vallejo, and different places. For Santa Rosa, we were able to cut down the acquisition cost to about $30. So we spent about $1,000. We got about, I think we got about 40, Terry, right? 40? 35 to 40 new ones. Oh, the other thing is that most of these were typical Americans. Actually, very few respond from Chinese. So they are non-Chinese that respond to these ads. So we're trying to make these ads a little different, hopefully tailored to the unbelievers or people who are not Christians. But when we apply this to areas like Vallejo, brothers say, well, we don't have a lot of money, just spend $500. Then out of that $500, I think we were able to get 25 contacts. So we were able to lower that cost down to about $20 per acquisition. I think that number would get better. Facebook actually has a very powerful search engine. That you're able to tailor many different ways, and you're able to control the cost. Right? According to technical people, it's better than Google. So I don't want to offend the Google engineers here, but just according to the marketers, right? That's what they tell us. But anyway, so I think it's a very it's just a way, right, to be able to contact people. And our burden is that we're trying to able to narrow it down to have a definite cost. So if someone who is burdened, right, let's say you're burdened to preach the gospel, but you don't really have any warm doors, but you say, hey, I want to at least contact, let's say, five people a week, maybe you can spend $50, right? Then we're able to give you five leads. Then this week you can call these five, right? Text them and follow up with them. Maybe out of the five, you're going to have one who's willing to have a meeting with you. So we were trying many things different. So instead of going to their homes, right, deliver the Bible, we invite them to a Starbucks, nearby Starbucks. So it's not confrontational. They don't feel that we're too aggressive. Then Manny had a very good, just an introduction meeting. So many saints had very good experiences because of that. And they were very open.
Amen. I was really touched with mainly two things. One is just this quote that our brother used, that this brother said to him, how the Lord is still looking for one man. Amen. Who is absolutely consecrated to him. I think I was just touched that it really, first of all, starts with every single one of us. And our consecration to the Lord. I think sometimes I have to admit I get discouraged when I feel maybe lonely or that I'm the only one or I look around. But I realize it's just really at the end of the day, it's between us and the Lord, right? We have to face the Lord and to show the Lord what we've done. Amen. With what he's given us. Amen. And in our lifetime. Amen. So even in that personally, I feel a burning that I need to be more serious towards the Lord regarding this matter of bearing fruit. Amen. The second thing, and I'm a little, I guess, you know, I feel a little ashamed, but in the sense of, so, you know, I work at Google, and we, praise the Lord, we've had a Bible study for the last year plus. Every single week we get together, some of the brothers and sisters are here. We get together every single week to study the Bible. We get together every single week to pray. But I think part of me, and it's weird because it's my workplace as well. You know, when we're facing our boss, if our boss tells us to do something, we will hustle and do whatever we need to do to get the job done. But for some reason, for our Bible study, I have to admit, maybe I only speak for myself, but I feel, okay, you know, we're coming here every single week. We're preparing. We pray once a week. It's good enough. You know, the rest is in the Lord's hands and, you know, he'll do it. And I have to admit that that's maybe part of a feeling of just, I've sort of checked the boxes. And I realize this is clearly not the way you run a business. Right. You don't just keep running and lose money every single day if you know you're not making money, you're not running a profit. You'll do something to make sure you start going into the green, right? And I don't know, I just realized that the way that I treat our service, you know, in our desire to bear fruit is very different than the way I treat my job. Mm-hmm. And I know in my heart, I love the Lord. I want to be useful to the Lord. I want to bear fruit. But for some reason, I realize my attitude is so different. And I realize we really need a change in our attitude. Amen. We have to be desperate to get into the green. You know, we can't keep running a deficit every single year doing the same thing and being okay with it. I don't know, when the brother was saying we should pray every single day, you know, for our coworkers, I feel especially, you know, me and another brother, we're on the same exact team at Google, right? So we have no excuse to pray for Amen. The people on our team, right? Amen. There's no excuse because we have each other and we work with these people every single day. So I was just saying, you know, just encourage the saints, we really need to be desperate towards this. Either that desperate to innovate, to be entrepreneurial, we need to do whatever we can to gain fruit, you know? Amen. It's not a matter of just, I tried, I did my best, and that's it. We need to hustle, you know? Amen. We should treat this even more seriously than our job, amen. Which we know is not the reason why we're here. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. I appreciate a couple of things through this sharing and feel very very happy to be here. One of the things that was brought out is that we must have the living, and I think from this living, we'll develop a heart for man. And I was really impressed with that the Lord's heart, like the Lord's heart for man, is really what attracted us, you know, to come to Him and to open to Him and for Him to operate in us. But I recently moved in the Bay Area a couple months ago, and I'm working science, so I'm just kind of like, when I came into my work, I wasn't really sure what the Lord was going to do. I mean, science has this kind of culture of, you know, atheism or anti-religion, and I'm just here, you know, this is my work, you know, it's not a very glorious job, but I'm here. And then just kind of before the Lord, you know, Lord, what would you do in this time here? What's my heart toward these people? You know, initially when I come, like, okay, these people are atheists. They probably don't want anything to do with God. And so I'll just, you know, do my thing, let them do their thing, and everything is gravy. But that's not really what happened, praise the Lord, because I feel really encouraged with the restoration of the faith of the gospel. Amen. So the Lord's been doing something in my work and the people I've been around. And it really started, I was, you know, volunteering with BFA, passing out Bibles. And then I see my lab mate walking. And I'm just like, oh Lord, they're there. I'm like, hey, y'all want a free Bible? And oh, there they are. And I'm just kind of like, maybe I should go hide a little bit, hide under the tent until they pass. But really, you know, they saw me, you know, they just saw me. And they're like, oh, hey, Joe. And I have like a Bible in my hand. I'm like, hey. And they came up here and they're like, are you a Christian? I was like, yes, I am a Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it turns out they were believers also, right? But, you know, in a sense, they were hiding in the kind of work environment, just like I was, kind of. And that was a really kind of exposing, like, whoa, the Lord has people everywhere. And when we come into whatever environment we're in, we need to find the Lord and find what the Lord is doing there. So then I started meeting with this brother every week. And then through that, there was this discussion. Let's get together. Let's do a Bible study. Let's do something. And then we started praying, even for our lab. And so I have another lab mate. And I was just like, we were praying about it. I was like, hey, man, you want to come for a Bible study? And I sent him via email because I was kind of scared. I didn't really want to, like, say it in person. But there was this step that was initiated, you know. And I think the Lord gives us a grace wherever we are. We just need to take that step. And then to my surprise, he was like, yeah, I'm interested. And so I was like, amen. So he's coming. And I have two brothers in the church who are coming, too. And we're building this little Bible study just in my small apartment. And we're really getting into something. And it's been really enjoyable. But then this weekend even, there was a friend that came to visit. And this goes back to that having a heart for man or having a heart for people. My friend was just dealing with something. And, you know, we had some dinner. We were just with a group of people. But there was just an opportunity, like, how are you doing? You know, how are you really doing? And just an inquiring of someone's situation. And she just began to open up. And, you know, I think we have something within us. Right. We have everything, actually. Right. You know, this ministry has opened up so much to us. Right. And we need to have the boldness and confidence. We found the secret of living. Amen. I mean, these people are dealing with their situations, with their concepts, right, with their you know, what society has taught them. But they're gonna run into a wall, right? Because those are all lies. Right. You know, they're solutions that will never take you. It will never fully accomplish or solve the problem. So, you know, I just started sharing some things from my experience. I mean, what the Lord has shown me over the years. And, you know, I don't really know how she took all of it. But then the next day, this morning, she said, I mean, she usually works on Sundays, but she was like, next one of these Sundays when I'm not working, you know, maybe I can come to church with you guys. And so then I'm just praising the Lord because, you know, I grew up in the South. It's a Bible Belt. Everybody's a Christian. And then you hear things about the Bay. Like, oh, that's the worst place to go, Joe. Like, that's the most secular place of all time. Everybody's as liberal as it can be. And so, you know, you have these concepts. Probably nobody's really open, that open. But really, the Lord is doing something. I want to echo Brother Minor. The Lord is doing something in the Bay Area. Amen. He's just waiting for us to enter in. Amen. But we start off with the normal living of the God-man, amen, you know, and then we come with, you know, with a couple brothers, amen, or sisters, to just be built up together.
Amen.
And we start praying.
Amen.
And then we start developing burdens.
Amen.
And then things start happening.
Amen.
And then you're like, what is going on? How are all these things actually happening? And this is a restoration of the faith,
Amen.
Of the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is powerful.
Amen.
And we just need to enter in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to strengthen this point that the people we're around are open. I just want to share my experience briefly. I work in the Big Four downtown. Started working there about 6 months ago. And just kind of normal work as a first year, not speaking too much about my faith. But as people kind of, you get to know people a little bit more. I start asking you, you know, what are you doing this weekend? Or where were you? You start going to prayer meetings and people wondering where you are. You know, my team, we started working 7 days a week. And so I start requesting like 2 hours off on a Tuesday or, you know, a Saturday morning off for a conference. And so I was just a little bit vocal about my faith, you know, where I was going. Oh, I'm going to a prayer meeting or I'm going to a Bible study or there's a conference I'm going to about Exodus, whatever it's about. Just being very vocal about what I was into. And I think even, you know, after Brother Monroe was speaking, I could probably be even more forward about it. But what started happening is that my coworkers started coming to me with questions. There was one who joined our team, and she was a dear sister, and she asked the team, you know, I want to go to church in this country. She's from South Africa. And they all said, oh, go talk to Richie, you know, go talk to him. And so she's come twice to a home meeting in Soma and really enjoying it, just reading the word, being in the fellowship. And then without getting too many details, I have three on my team. My head boss, my boss, and my coworker have all asked to come to a home meeting. They all wanted to come check it out, see what I'm doing. And then actually this week, I was out with another coworker, and we were getting lunch, and we started talking. He started asking what I do on the weekends. I told him, you know, oh, I go to church a lot. I spend a lot of time in Bible study. And he started opening, like, man, no one in this city, like, does anything but, you know, party and stuff. You know, and he's like, it's just empty. It's void. And he you know, he's a Buddhist, but we were just talking about God and having meaning in life. And, you know, he's like, man, I really enjoyed our talk. I want to, like, get with you again. And so I have another warm door.
Amen.
And then on Wednesday, I think this week, I got with a coworker who I hadn't seen in 6 months. And we had a 45-minute discussion just over random things. And she knew right out of college that I wanted to go to this Bible school. And then, of course, I came straight to work. I told her it was a situational thing. And then she opened up. After this busy season, she said, I feel like I just need to take time off work because like, I have no meaning. I feel like I need to go find meaning.
Wow.
And again, like I was caught off guard. I didn't know what to do. But praise the Lord, she's still at the firm. I'm still there. And so so I have five or six, right? One's a believer and five unbelievers who are open and who want to come to a meeting or are searching for something. And so, saints, I'm just encouraged. We shouldn't look at the outward situation of how people put on the face of just working and occupied and they're fine. Inwardly, people are seeking. They're seeking after God.
Amen.
And when we're vocal about our faith and when we're on fire for the Lord, they notice it and they come to us,
Amen.
Even if we don't go to them. And so I would just encourage you, reach out, right? Be vocal about our faith, be vocal how we are from the Lord, and reach these people who are open for the Lord.
Amen.
Also looking for meaning,
the meaning just like we did, I tell you, in a very real way, and they're all over the city because the whole world is coming here. So this is not just San Franciscans, this is the world coming here, and we have the answer. Go show them our BFA movie called The Gotcha Vacuum. that will bring tears to your eyes, whether you believe it or not. Brothers and sisters, I am just already convinced by these few fellowship. Aren't you?
Amen.
I mean, everything is ready and ripe.
Amen.
It awaits that one person, that's you and I, to now launch out and speak. It'll take time. You know, with Americans, you need to build relations. And the best way is workplace. These are your workmates or people you see every day in the community or classmates. That's the best way to reach people. They see you all the time. They have a trust level of trust with you. And they see your life. So it is not really cold call, really, right? But even in this case with Facebook, it's cold. But yet in a Starbucks, it gets warm, right? So, what can I say? I'm going to just and say, and that is go to it, brothers. Now, next week, next month, I'm going to come. Am I going to check on you? What have you done? 15%, Jim,
Amen.
Is nothing.
Nothing.
If all would 250 brothers and sisters with a heart like this for the Lord, I expect the day some of you will get so addicted, some of you will go full time.
Amen.
You will even leave your job
Amen.
And just full time preach the gospel and bring people into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's no vocation and calling higher than that.
Amen.
But anyway, for now, please go and burn.
Amen.
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 All right?
Amen.
Okay. Can we go to the airport? Otherwise, I'll miss my flight.
So how about we end with all of us praying
up in us.
Amen.
Make this 250.
Amen.
The 300.
Amen.
Give themselves.
Amen.
Do business for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everyone in this room.
Amen.
All the saints here.
Amen.
To be the consecrated one.
Amen.
Thank you for your desire.
Amen.
Cast fire on this earth.
Amen.
Cover this among us.
Amen.
Cover the fervor.
Amen.
Burning for the gospel.
Amen.
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 Amen. To your word.
Amen.
Burn us.
Amen.
Lord, consecrate our time.
Amen.
Lord, give you the matter of budgeting.
Amen.
Us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, show us that this is the highest vocation.
Amen.
Lord, that we need to make business with you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, there's so much fish out there.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, send us, Lord.
Amen.
Give us this burden.
Amen.
Oh, how important this is.
Amen.
In the workplace.
Amen.
Oh, in the classroom.
Amen.
Oh, outside, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, at home.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, give us this burden.
Amen.
Oh, preach your gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Burden us for the increase.
Amen.
This is your burden.
Amen.
Stir up the fire of the gospel.
Amen.
Spirit of the gospel in all of us.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We would budget our time.
Amen.
Put in 2 hours a week.
Amen.
And we can take this practical step.
Amen.
And a companionizer.
Amen.
Be one with you.
Amen.
Carry out your economy.
Amen.
Increase for your body.
Amen.